Jesus calls us to take up our cross and follow him. You're listening to Crosswalk with Pastor Steve Winery. Crosswalk is the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel Tri-Cities, and it is our aim to lead you to the cross through the teaching of God's Word.
So basically, when Jesus is on the cross, the guy's at eye level. You can look straight into his eyes. When Jesus is on the cross, he's naked. When he's on the cross, he's humiliated. All the things that are happening around him are happening not where he's up above it all, but happening in a situation where he's in the midst of it all. Isaiah 53, verses 4 through 7 says this: "Surely he's borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted." And what that means there, Isaiah is prophesying and saying that the Jewish people thought that the reason that Jesus was on the cross is because he had defiled himself before God, and because he was an apostate, and because he was a sinner. He was smitten by God and afflicted. And then Isaiah goes on and he says, "But he was wounded for our transgressions." And again, not for his own. "He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned every one to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before its shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth." Jesus could have gotten out of the cross in a number of different ways. One of the ways that he could have gotten out of the cross, remember the things that Jesus said from the cross? One of the last things he said was, "It is finished." You know what he could have said? "You are finished." And everybody around him would have disappeared, you know, maybe in a puff of flame. But he didn't. He didn't do that. When he was standing before the Sanhedrin, well, he wasn't before the whole Sanhedrin, but when he's standing in these trials, he could have said things that would have gotten him off, and he refused to. In fact, there's one point in the trial before Caiaphas where he's in a situation where they're blowing it because they got witnesses to come in and testify against him, and they couldn't get the witnesses to agree with each other. And finally, the high priest turns to him and he says, "I adjure you by God, tell us whether or not you're the Christ, the Son of the Blessed." And he said, "I am. And after this, you're going to see me coming in power and glory." And it's at that point that Caiaphas goes, we don't need witnesses anymore, because Jesus right there made sure that he condemned himself. And when Jesus went to the cross, he went to the cross for blasphemy. Because if what he said was not true, that's what it was. It was blasphemy. But if what he said was true, then all the guys who are standing there judging him are going to be guys who are standing before Jesus later on being judged. In any case, Jesus goes to the cross, and he goes to the cross on purpose. And he refuses to let it not happen. One of the reasons I'm going through and showing you all these verses is because a lot of times when people look at the cross, they wonder who's responsible for the death of Jesus. And so you get people who say the Jews are. And so the Jews picked Caesar over Jesus. "We have no king but Caesar." And that's actually in the passage here in the book of John in chapter 19. "We have no king except for Caesar." And so people will say that the Jews were the ones who killed Jesus. There are some people who say it was the Romans, and obviously the Romans had a hand in this. They were used specifically to do this stuff, but it's not the Romans, and it's not the Jews. Jesus, the Bible says, was a lamb sacrificed from the foundation of the world. The one who put Jesus on the cross was God. And there's a reason that he did it. Isaiah 53:10 says, "Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He has put him to grief. When you make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed, he shall prolong his days." That's talking about the resurrection. and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. In the NIV, it says it this way, yet it was the Lord's will to crush him and cause him to suffer. And though the Lord makes his life a guilt offering, he will see his offspring and prolong his days, and the will of the Lord will prosper in his hand. So why was God pleased with the cross? Why was God pleased to bruise Jesus? And one of the reasons that he was pleased is because of the selflessness of Jesus. He died so others might live. He's not pleased that Jesus was suffering. He's not pleased that Jesus was going through pain, but he was pleased by what that pain accomplished. He was pleased by the fulfillment of the plan of salvation. He was pleased by the sacrifice that made the way for others to have eternal life. And when you're looking at the crucifixion, the evil of the crucifixion brought infinite good. Is there anything more harsh that you can think of? Anything more awful that somebody could go through? And yet it brought about the greatest gift of all time, the salvation of countless souls, including yours and mine. That's a quote from my pastor, Greg Laurie. There's a passage in Philippians 2, 7 through 9 that says that Jesus made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men and being found in appearance as a man. He humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Therefore, God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name. And so God is the one who orchestrated this. God is the one who set this whole thing up. And Jesus was in on it. And it was always the plan. Always the plan. Here's another thing. Satan was in on it too. And this is the one moment in all of history where the plan of God and Satan coincided. Satan wanted to kill him. Satan wanted to shut him up. And God knew that what Jesus was doing is dying for the world. They had the same objective, the death of Christ, but they had different goals. And in the goals of heaven, it was so that you and I could come into a relationship with God and so that we could be saved. Let's look at John 19. I'm talking about it. Let's look at it. In verse 17, it says, "And he, bearing his cross, went out to a place called the place of a skull, which is called in Hebrew Golgotha, where they crucified him and two others with him, one on either side and Jesus in the center. Now Pilate wrote a title and put it on the cross, and the writing was Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. Then many of the Jews read this title, for the place where Jesus was crucified was near the city, and it was written in Hebrew, Greek, and Latin. Therefore the chief priests of the Jews said to Pilate, 'Do not write the King of the Jews,' but he said, 'I am the King of the Jews.' And Pilate answered, 'What I've written, I've written.'" Pilate didn't like these guys. "Then the soldiers, when they had crucified Jesus, took his garments and made four parts, to each soldier a part, and also the tunic. Now the tunic was without seam, woven from the top in one piece. And they said therefore among themselves, 'Let us not tear it, but cast lots for it, whose it shall be, that the scripture might be fulfilled, which says, They divided my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots.'" That's from Psalm 22. "Therefore, the soldiers did these things. Now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother, and his mother's sister, and Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing by, he said to his mother, 'Woman, behold your son.' Then he said to the disciple, 'Behold your mother.' And from that hour that disciple took her to his own home. After this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, said, 'I thirst.' Now a vessel full of sour wine was sitting there, and they filled a sponge with sour wine, put it on hyssop, and put it to his mouth. So when Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, 'It is finished,' and bowing his head, he gave up his spirit. Therefore, because it was the preparation day, that the bodies should not remain on the cross on the Sabbath, for that Sabbath was a high day, the Jews asked Pilate that their legs might be broken and that they might be taken away. Then the soldiers came and broke the legs of the first and the other who was crucified with him. But when they came to Jesus and saw that he was already dead, they did not break his legs. But one of the soldiers pierced his side with a spear, and immediately blood and water came out. And he who has seen has testified, and his testimony is true, and he knows that he is telling the truth, so that you may believe. For these things were done that the scripture should be fulfilled, 'Not one of his bones shall be broken.' And again, another scripture says, 'They shall look on him whom they pierced.'" And then they bury Jesus. First, I want to look at Jesus and the cross. When you're talking about what Jesus went through, there was physical pain, there was emotional pain, there was spiritual pain. And so you've gone through physical pain. You know, I was talking about knee surgeries earlier. You have the physical with Jesus. He's in the Garden of Gethsemane, and the Bible says that he sweat, as it were, great drops of blood. And that is actually a medical condition. Jesus was under such stress that the capillaries in his skin began to burst and the sweat glands produced blood. And so he was under huge amounts of stress. And then you go through and you look at the beating that Jesus took. And so the ultimate beating that he took was the scourging that Pilate did with him. And you always scourged somebody that was going to a cross. That's what the Romans always did. And the reason that they did it was so that they could close cold cases. You guys know what a cold case is? It's a situation where you have crimes that have never been answered, crimes that have never been investigated to the end. You got nobody to take the blame for these things. And so when they were going to crucify somebody, they would scourge guys until they confessed to everything that they could ever confess to. And apparently, they thought that torture got all kinds of great confessions out of people. And so what would happen with a guy who was going to go to a cross is they would start the scourging. And basically, what they used was what we would call a cat of nine tails. It was there was a handle with leather thongs that came off of it. Only it wasn't just leather thongs. And so probably you've heard about this. They would take beads of lead, and they would tie them into the thongs. They would take glass, and they would tie that into the thongs. They would take bits of metal and tie that into the thongs. And then the lictor, that's what they called the guy who did the whipping, would whip the guy. And as he whipped him, he would flip his wrist so that the thongs would cut the metal and the beads would cut into the body. The beads were made to make contusions, make bruising, tenderize you, is what it was doing. And then the metal and the glass was designed to tear you. And so he'd take it, he'd flip his wrist as it went in, and then he'd flip it as it came out and literally tear off chunks of flesh off somebody's back. If you had somebody doing that to you and they said, "Hey, tell me what you've done," would you be talking? I would be talking. I would be talking before they started. letting them know everything that I'd ever done. And obviously, there would be points where they would be just making things up just so that they could make it stop. Here's the difference between Jesus and everybody else who ever went to a cross, everybody else who ever bore a Roman whipping. Jesus had never done anything wrong. He had nothing to confess. And here's another thing that you have going on with this beating that Jesus took. This is a Roman doing it. And he's a guy who's an occupying soldier in a country that hates his guts. They would all love to kill him. He probably gets dirty looks when he's walking down the road. He can see people staring at him, probably, getting behind the guy and, doing this kind of stuff across their necks because of the hatred that they had for the Romans. There were people, in fact, the two thieves on the cross were probably some of these people. There were people who were insurrectionists who would kill off Romans if they could get them alone. And so this is a guy who's far away from home amongst a group of people who hate his guts, and he has the power to take it out on somebody who thinks he's the king of the Jews. And so imagine how much relish this guy would go after Jesus with, and then on top of it, Jesus is not confessing. He strikes him and says, "What have you done?" And Jesus says, "Nothing." He strikes him again. "What have you done?" And Jesus says, "Nothing." He strikes him again, ripping out flesh. "What have you done?" And Jesus says, "Nothing." No words, like a lamb before his shearer is dumb. No words. He just sits there quiet. And now it becomes a competition, because with guys, everything's a competition. And at that point, you're going to want to break this guy. And so he goes after it and goes after it and goes after it. The Bible talks about the fact that nobody gets more than 40 lashes. That's in the Bible. The Romans didn't use the Bible. We have no idea how many lashes Jesus took. But finally, it probably got to the point where the lictor is getting sick, because every time he strikes him, there's nothing that comes out of this man except for blood and flesh. And then he's done. They put a robe on him. They put a crown of thorns on him. They take him before Pilate, and he's still standing. And when Pilate takes him and brings him before the crowd, he says, "Ecce homo," means "behold the man." And I believe that the reason he said that is because Jesus was still standing after the worst beating that Pilate had ever seen anybody ever take. And again, that's what Jesus did for you and for me. It's why I don't like the story. So you have the physical pain, the beating, the humiliation, and then finally they take him through the streets and they get him to Golgotha, and they crucify him. And they don't tell you what crucifixion is, but they took and ran nails through his hands and through his feet, probably tied his hands to the cross. It depends. If they just used the nails to hold him up, they would have nailed you through the wrist, because nails would rip out of your hands. If they wanted to go through the palm just to make a statement, if they went through the palm, they would have to tie his hand to the cross, because there would be constant pressure on that. The nails would rip out. Have you ever had a nail go through your foot? I used to be in construction. I used to be a carpenter. I've had a number of nails go through my foot. Ever had a nail go through your hand? I had nail guns. I've had nails go through my hand. Think it hurts? Yep, it hurts. It hurts. In any case, the nails that went through Jesus' hand weren't 16 penny nails. They were about 8 inches long, and they would have been about 1/4 to 3/8 of an inch wide, maybe up to 1/2 inch wide, through his feet and through his hands. And so that's the physical pain. Then there's the emotional pain. There's a pain that's worse than physical. How about betrayal? How about rejection? How about abandonment? You know, there are some of us that have gone through that. Maybe at some point your wife has come to you and said that she's been unfaithful to you. Or maybe you've had a situation where your husband has come to you and said, "I want a divorce." Or maybe your child walks away from Jesus and the pain that comes with that. Jesus had emotional pain. He was abandoned in the garden. He had guys within sight of him who were supposed to be praying for him. And every time he looked up, they were sleeping. And it's like, you couldn't wait with me 1 hour? And I feel bad for the guys, because they just got done with Thanksgiving. That's what Passover was. It was like Thanksgiving. And so you know how it is, right after you eat a bunch of turkey and they eat a bunch of lamb and they all go to sleep. But this is Jesus's worst moments in his life. And these guys can't even stay awake with him. So he's abandoned in the garden. He's alone before his accusers. In each one of those trials, he goes in there by himself, all by himself. Where was Peter when Jesus was carrying the cross? Jesus is going through the streets. He's so weakened by the beating that he takes that he stumbles. And one of the soldiers says, you know, picks a guy out of the crowd, Simon of Cyrene. Picks a dude out of the crowd to carry Jesus' cross. Why wasn't Peter there? All of his disciples are hiding, all except for John in this passage. The people who were praising him 4 days earlier are mocking him now. He saved others. Let him save himself if he's the Christ. If you're the King of the Jews, save yourself. And then finally, you have the greatest pain when he cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me?" And that's at the point of the sin bearing, most likely. That's the point where there was a separation that took place between Jesus and God, because that's what sin does. It separates you. God says, my ear isn't hard of hearing that I can't hear you. My arm's not short that I can't save you. It's your sin that's separated between you and me. Sin separates. And all of the sin of all of us and all the people who are meeting on Good Friday and all the people who have been Christians down through the last 2,000 years, all of the people who lived before Christ, who were followers of God, all of the people who were not followers of God, all of them, all of the sin was poured out on Jesus at that point. And it's at that point that it looks like the Father turns his face away. It's his lowest point, but that becomes our highest good. And Jesus's pain becomes our gain at that point. And that's the spiritual pain that Jesus went through. 9:17, it says, and he, bearing the cross, went out to a place called the place of a skull, which is called in Hebrew Golgotha. That's where we get the word Calvary. And Calvary means place of the skull. So guess where you're at? You're at Skull Chapel right now, where they crucified him and two others with him, one on either side, Jesus in the center. And the reason that Jesus went through this type of death specifically is because, again, it was prophesied. Psalm 22, there's a number of passages that have been spoken about. My God, why have you forsaken me? Is in Psalm 22. It's the first line in Psalm 22. When it says that they gambled for his clothing, they divided my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots. Psalm 22, it is finished, is actually a rendering of the last line of Psalm 22. And so Jesus, when he's on the cross, speaks from the beginning of Psalm 22, he speaks from the end of Psalm 22, and all the guys standing in front of the cross, all the religious leaders would have that memorized, and that they would be going through it. And Psalm 22 is all about a crucifixion from the point of view of somebody who's being crucified, the one who's being crucified. And it was written 1,000 years before Jesus and 500 years before crucifixion even existed. It was prophesied. That's why that's why Jesus went to the cross. In Zechariah 13:6, it says, and one will say to him, what are these wounds between your arms? In the King James Version, it says, what are these wounds in your hands? Then he will answer, those with which I was wounded in the house of my friends. I want to talk to you about the seven statements of Jesus from the cross, and we're going to talk about five people that are affected by the cross in the story. And so the seven statements in order are these. Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. Today you will be with me in paradise. Woman, behold your son, and behold your mother. My God, why have you forsaken me? The fifth one, I thirst. The sixth one, it is finished. The seventh one is, into your hands I commit my spirit. The first one is, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. When you look at this, what Jesus is doing is he's letting everybody know that he realizes that these people have no concept of what is happening here. They don't understand that when he says he's the King of the Jews, he really is. They don't understand that when the Bible talks about him being the one that came down from heaven, he really is. They don't understand that Jesus is actually God in human form. And he really is. They don't understand what they're doing. They don't understand that he's absolutely innocent. And he really is. They don't understand any of this. And so Jesus, actually in the book of Luke, it says, then Jesus said, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. Then is after the beatings. Then is after the abandonment. Then is after they've done their worst. Then is when he's on the cross, and everything that they've done, all the humiliation, all the pain, it's all finished. And it's at that point that he says, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing.
You've been listening to Crosswalk with Pastor Steve Winery. Crosswalk is the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel Tri-Cities in Kennewick, Washington. If you are interested in purchasing a copy of today's message or wanting to know more about what it means to follow Christ, then please contact our church office by phone at 509-736-2086. You can also look us up online at calvary-tricities.org. There you will find a wide variety of Pastor Steve's teachings to listen to or download for free. If you want to join us for church sometime, we are located at 10611 West Clearwater Avenue in Kennewick, Washington. Our Sunday morning service times are 7:30, 9:15, and 11 a.m. We also have Wednesday and Sunday evening services at 6:30 p.m. We hope you have been blessed today, and join us again next time for Crosswalk.